This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News covering the towns of Webster, Dudley, Oxford, Douglas, Northbridge, Uxbridge, Whitensville, Upton, Milford, Mendon, and Blackstone. This program is sponsored by the Lions Clubs of Oxford and Uxbridge. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. It's Thursday, April 25th, and in the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Webster Times, Blackstone Valley Tribune, and the Milford Town Crier. This is Jennifer Ant Kowiak reading with Arnie Wensky. Uxbridge teacher sees eclipse from a bird's eye view. While eclipse seekers across the country found themselves stuck in heavy traffic a couple of weeks ago, a local educator soared high above the gridlock for an unforgettable view of the phenomenon. Amanda Gallerani, a STEAM teacher at Taft Early Learning Center in Uxbridge, joined six other teachers selected by the Massachusetts Wing Director of Aerospace Education to fly during the April 8th total solar eclipse. For Gallerani, who joined the Civil Air Patrol 2 years ago as an aerospace educator member, the opportunity to record data and capture photographs of the eclipse from the air was a life-changing experience. "We were 8,500 feet in the sky watching the eclipses. Temperature at the beginning of the eclipse was 6 degrees Celsius, and at totality it was negative 2 degrees Celsius," said Gallerani, who has taught at Uxbridge Public Schools for 4 years. "The entire experience was absolutely unforgettable and incredible." Gallerani's journey toward the renowned path of totality began with a flight from Worcester to Bangor International Airport to meet up with the rest of the Civil Air Patrol team and teachers. "We had to go north to Grindstone, Maine by Katahdin Woods for the eclipse," Gallerani recalled. "I had UV-changing pony beads and glow-in-the-dark beads to document with pictures to bring back to the classroom. I also brought a box of Skittles to show how colors changed with the lack of light compared to others." In her role at Uxbridge Public Schools, Gallerani created the STEAM program at the elementary school, where she teaches students in grades K through 3. Following her spectacular aerial view of the eclipse, she couldn't wait to share stories and photos with her students. "Returning to the classroom last week has been so rewarding and fun. The kids are so happy and proud of me. They have been begging to hear the stories and see the pictures," Gallerani said. In addition to her work inside the classroom, Gallerani also established a youth program called Science with Amanda, which allows students to continue STEAM learning outside of school and during the summer months. STEAM gives children the opportunity to explore the problem, become problem solvers, create solutions, and show their creativity and intelligence in a positive way, Gallerani said. STEAM also gives students the chance to explain why and how things work or why we learn something. "When I was growing up, I always enjoyed learning and grasping concepts when I was given the opportunity to apply what I was learning to projects or hands-on science experiments." Even though her position with Uxbridge Public Schools wasn't part of her career plan just a few short years ago, Gallerani has enjoyed the unexpected opportunity to work with students at the same school she attended as a youngster. "I had a forced career change due to the pandemic from informal STEM education at the New England Aquarium and moved back to Uxbridge full time. I was approached by former Uxbridge superintendent Dr. Frank Tiano to follow my passion and my style of teaching and start working at Taft Early Learning Center," Gallerani said. "It has been surreal to return to Taft Early Learning Center years later as an employee and no longer an elementary school student. I have been lucky enough to return to school with many of my former teachers." Gallerani was thrilled to share her most recent journey with students, as well as stories of past work trips and projects. These include scuba diving trips, rescuing and rehabilitating marine animals across New England, mostly turtles and seals, and researching sharks in Massachusetts. "It's been really neat to see my students so excited about my teaching and past eclipse adventures, because I see myself in many of those kids being so excited about science," Gallerani said. Take a historical trolley tour of Northbridge. The Northbridge Historical Commission, in partnership with the Northbridge Historical Society, is pleased to offer its popular historical trolley tour of Northbridge on Saturday, May 18th. Three tour times are available, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., or 1 p.m., and space is limited. This tour is extra special as it will roll for the last time with Ken Warkall as narrator and guide. Northbridge historian, teacher, and longtime chairperson of the Northbridge Historical Commission, Ken Warkall will guide you on a leisurely two-hour trolley tour of Northbridge Center and the historic district of Whitensville. Ken began providing historic tours of his hometown in 1977 and has since celebrated and shared Northbridge's history with countless students and community members of all ages. Riders will learn about the vital role Northbridge played in the Industrial Revolution and its growth from a village to a thriving industrial global center under the direction of the entrepreneurial spirit and engineering prominence of the Whiten family. From humble beginnings at the Fletcher Forge to the establishment and growth of Whiten Machine Works into the 1920s, Whiten Machine Shop became the world's most prominent textile machine shop. The tour includes aspects of village life and explores the architectural skeletons and landmarks that remind us of a bygone era. The tour begins at the 1770 Colonel James Fletcher Homestead, former home to James Fletcher, founder of the Fletcher Forge, and now the home of the Northbridge Historical Society. It continues with a stop at the town hall and on to more historical places and scenic views. There is no charge for the tour thanks to a generous donation from Unibank. Seating is by registration only, and tours fill up quickly. To request seats, email Folloni, F-O-L-L-O-N-I, 1908, @gmail.com. Include your contact info, number of seats requested, and preferred tour time, not guaranteed. You will receive a confirmation email with details. DAR presents Good Citizens Award. On April 9th, the Captain Job Knapp chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution presented their 2024 Good Citizens Awards and Scholarships. This award is given by the chapter to honor four area high school seniors selected by their teachers who demonstrated good citizenship qualities of dependability, service, leadership, and patriotism in their homes, schools, and communities. The students wrote timed essays and utilizing their knowledge of American civics and history. This year's good citizens are Sarah Cohen from Northbridge High School, Cecilia White from Douglas High School, Caleb Dieters from Whitensville Christian High School, and Brian O'Connell from Blackstone Valley Technical High School. Each of these four outstanding young citizens received a DAR Good Citizen pin, a certificate, and a $300 award funded through a generous donation from Unibank and the chapter. The DAR Captain Job Knapp chapter would like to publicly thank Unibank, who has been a community sponsor of this scholarship for more than 50 years. The National Society Daughters of the American Revolution, founded in 1890 and headquartered in Washington, D.C., is a volunteer women's service organization dedicated to promoting patriotism, preserving American history, and securing America's future through better education for children. It is a nonprofit, non-political, volunteer women's service organization. Any woman who has an ancestor who fought in or rendered aid in the American Revolution may be eligible for membership in DAR. For more information, please contact Chapter Regent Novaline Beltram at novaline@verizon.net. Malfunctioning laptop halts MCAS testing at Uxbridge Schools. Superintendent Michael Baldessari issued the following update following Tuesday's incident involving a malfunctioning laptop at Whiten Intermediate School. On Wednesday, April 10th, all students in the district using Acer C734 Chromebooks returned their laptops to school so that the district can conduct a thorough safety evaluation of all the devices. On Wednesday morning, Acer representatives, including the Director of Services and Chief Engineer, met with district administration to review the affected laptop using high-definition cameras. At this time, the cause of the malfunction remains under investigation. All the Chromebooks will remain in the possession of district administration until the investigation and safety evaluations conclude. Previously scheduled MCAS testing at Uxbridge High School and the Taft Early Learning Center, as well as 7th grade ELA MCAS testing at the Whiten Intermediate School, proceeded the following day without disruption. Acer will send the district 450 laptop devices that have the appropriate operating system so that MCAS assessments can resume for students in grades 4 through 6. In addition, Acer will send representatives to Uxbridge that week to ensure the proper setup of the alternate devices. State education regulations call for all MCAS testing to be complete by April 26th. The district is working to reschedule ELA MCAS testing for grades 4 through 6 to meet the state deadline. More information regarding scheduling will be provided as it becomes available. Sutton Historical Society to host presentation and other happenings. On Tuesday, May 7th at 1 p.m. at the Sutton Senior Center, 19 Huff Road, the Society will host member Ed Krustowski, who will share his metal detecting expertise. Ed has metal detected several historic properties in Sutton, finding many interesting artifacts, which will be on display. Ed will also discuss the various tools used in metal detecting. Not only does Ed dig into the ground, but he meticulously documents where items were found and links them to individuals who lived on the properties. This free presentation is open to all members and the general public of all ages. The annual townwide yard sale hosted by the Sutton Historical Society will be held on Saturday, June 15th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., Participant registration forms can be found at suttonhistoricalsocietyinc.org. Cost to participate is $10. The Society does accept yard sale donations for the benefit of the Society. Please note items such as TVs, computers, monitors, upholstered furniture, or clothes will be accepted as a donation. Contact sutton1704@gmail.com if interested in donating items or if you have any questions. The Sutton Historical Society is a 501c3 organization dedicated to preserving history in the town of Sutton. Membership is open year-round. Members do not have to reside in Sutton. For more information, visit suttonhistoricalsocietyinc.org. ValleyCast hosts Yellow Tulip Garden Hope Day Celebration. ValleyCast, the arts and culture arm of Open Sky Community Services, in collaboration with the Yellow Tulip Project, will be hosting their annual Yellow Tulip Gardens Hope Day celebration on Wednesday, May 1st from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Dennis H. Rice Community Plaza. The free event is a celebration of resilience, joy, well-being, and community, and the public is welcome and encouraged to attend. If it rains, the celebration will move indoors to the Singh Performance Center at the same location. The annual Hope Day celebration brings people together to celebrate hope, smash the stigma around mental illness, and bring suicide prevention, mental health awareness, and resources for recovery to the community in anticipation of May is Mental Health Awareness Month. This year's celebration will feature live music by the Blackstone Valley Quartet, a story of recovery by Christian Mahoney Pick, wellness offerings, art making, resource information, and a chance to admire our Yellow Tulip Hope Garden in full bloom. In collaboration with Yellow Tulip Project, ValleyCast board members and staff, along with community members from the Whiten Community Center, Blackstone Heritage Quarter, and NOAA Peer Recovery Support Center, planted their first Yellow Tulip Hope Garden with 500 tulips at the Alternatives Whiten Mill in the fall of 2020. This has since inspired the planting of Yellow Tulip Gardens at the Whiten Community Center, the Rockdale Youth Center, Douglas Primary School, NOAA, the Whitensville Common, Worcester City Hall, the Hartwell Institute, and as far away as the Town Common in Southbridge. After the Hope Day event, people are encouraged to take a short walk to the Whiten Community Center, 60 Main Street, Whitensville, and the Whitensville Town Common to see three more Yellow Tulip Hope Gardens planted by the Whiten Community Center, the Women's Success Network, the local 4-H Club, and the Girls on the Run Worcester County, with more than 1,500 yellow tulips planted in all. The Yellow Tulip Project is a Maine-based, youth-driven nonprofit that is fiercely dedicated to suicide prevention, mental health stigma reduction, community building, and helping people know that there is help and hope out there, one yellow tulip at a time.
Good afternoon. This is Arnie Wenske reading articles about Webster, Dudley, and Oxford from the Friday, April 19th edition of the Webster Times, along with articles about these communities from other area newspapers. Our first article from the Webster Times, Movie Night at the Museum with silent movie entertainer Richard Hughes. Webster, on Friday, April 19th, the silent movie era of the 1920s will come alive at Samuel Slater Experience when silent movie entertainer Richard Hughes presents It. A pianist and historian, Hughes will share the adventure drama, romance, and comedy which characterized the silent movies of the Roaring Twenties. This show is a trip back in time. The first part begins with movie clips from newsreels, cartoons, slapstick comedy clips, and clips of groundbreaking movies. Audience members will have an opportunity to synchronize sound effects like a wind machine, locomotive sounds, a slapstick, a hooga horn, and more to these movie clips. Then we will screen It, starring Clara Bow with her leading man, Antonio Marino. Now, if you don't know what It is, come and get it because she's got it. In fact, there was a popular song called She's Got It that Richard will sing before accompanying the film. Clara Bow grew up as a tomboy, loved sports, and could outpitch and outhit all the neighborhood boys in baseball. She attended PS 111 in Brooklyn and then graduated from an all-girls high school where she excelled in athletics. With all of her family problems, Clara escaped to Coney Island, Luna Park, and Dreamland in summers. After all, it was only a streetcar ride away. She probably would have become an athletics instructor if that newspaper ad for a chance to become an actress wasn't published. Her father encouraged her to fill out the application and include a picture, which he paid for. Although she was one of 300 contestants at the audition, her self-confidence, determination, and ambition won her first place. With persistence and just being a pest around the studio agency, she got a small part in a local movie which started her career. By 1929, she rose to stardom and was the most popular actress at the box office. Not bad, considering she was just 24 years old. Come and get some of this. I mean it. What goes around comes around. Taylor Swift has just issued her new release with a song in the final track position entitled Clara Bow. Admission is free. Popcorn and seltzer will be available for a donation. Night at the Museum, Silent Movies with Richard Hughes at the Samuel Slater Experience, 31 Ray Street, Webster, Mass., was held on Friday, April 19th, starting at 5:30, and it's sponsored by the Webster Cultural Council. Reservations were encouraged. And about the Samuel Slater Museum, Samuel Slater Experience, which opened in March of 2022, employs state-of-the-art 4D digital technology to tell the story of Samuel Slater, the beginnings of the American Industrial Revolution, and the founding of Webster, Massachusetts, in the early 19th century. The museum is located in the former National Guard Webster Armory at 31 Ray Street, Webster, Massachusetts, and open to the public year-round. Daily schedules, Fridays and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Sunday, noon to 4 p.m. Ticket purchases for school trips, private events, and groups can be arranged directly with staff. For more information and tickets, visit Samuel Slater Experience.org. Our next article from the Webster Times, Children Have Say in Playground Design. Dudley's Board of Selectmen hosted a special exercise on April 8th, allowing some of its young community members to have a say in the future of the town's new playground. Selectmen welcomed Michael Radner of Radner Design Associates to discuss an update on the Fun Zone playground, which has been closed in 2021 due to health and safety concerns. In 2022, the Dudley Women's Club helped lead a fundraiser effort to refurbish the playground, but plans have since shifted to creating a brand new facility instead. The club's fundraising efforts helped the town procure Radner's services to lead the design phase of the project. Michael Radner presented the initial concepts before a room filled with parents and children, indicating that they would like to build the new playground on a lot right next to the current playgrounds within the town municipal building parking lot. The lot is currently used as a storage space for fire, police, and highway department vehicles. The plans would also include a nearby wooded area, creating a space five times larger than the current playground with a wider array of play options for children ages 6 to 12. We think we can have a playground that can have all these different ages playing, and then maybe some different areas, little kids over here and big kids over there, said Radner. We're going to have the two areas of play. We're not going to cut down any trees. We want you to go into the woods and play. The two areas of play will be designated as designed and natural, with designing being the more artificial playground sets and natural, allowing kids the chance to embrace the wooded area and nature. Radner Design Associates also hopes to incorporate a variety of ways to play into the design, including tactile and sensory, involuntary movement activities, strength and fitness, and imaginative play. These could include more traditional features like swings and slides to add-ons like sand pits and climbing walls. The company is also considering different kinds of materials, including metal, wood, and plastic. After Radner's presentation, the real goal of the meeting commenced as young guests were tasked with participating in a series of activities to decide what equipment and ways of playing would be prioritized in the eventual final design. Some of these children also took to the podium to suggest different ideas like a basketball hoop, large slides, some kind of go-kart or racing track, and water features. Some input from adults included adding seating space for parents to rest and creating something that also caters to middle schoolers. Town Administrator Jonathan Ruta assured the audience that while the playground is meant to serve specifically ages 6 to 12, it is not the only aspect of what has become a much larger project over time. The first phase is the playground, because by far the playground received the most outcry to get it reopened and up and running for the kids, including the equipment. The second round of grant funding, we're going to try to target the open space, which will be located further down where the current playground is, and that will have a space for benches, hanging out, a farmer's market, those sort of things, said Ruta. Radner Design Associates will now use the input from the exercise to determine how the playground will look, which will also help finalize a projected price tag that will be essential to the town's search for grant funding. Town planner Bill Scanlon revealed that Dudley plans to seek a state grant this summer that, if successful, would fund up to 70% of the project. Our next article from the Webster Times, fundraiser to support A.J. Strong. Dudley Charlton. Members of the Dudley Charlton and Charlton communities are being called to come together on April 27th to support the family of A.J. Congdon, a student and athlete who has been diagnosed with an inoperable cancerous brain tumor in September. The second grader attends Dudley Elementary School and has participated in football as a member of the Dudley Charlton Rams as well as baseball. Described as kind and funny and a ray of sunshine by friends, teachers, and family, Congdon has been selected for a candidate for a clinical trial to help alleviate his condition, but he can't do it alone. Supporters have started the movement AJ Strong and organized a GoFundMe campaign and fundraising activity to help the family with their expenses. Julie Winans, a music teacher at Dudley Elementary School, teamed up with AJ's teacher, Christine Taylor, the school's nurse, Kathy Wilson, adjustment counselor Vanessa Musente, and paraprofessional Kelly Finiza to help lead the fundraising event, which will be held at Shepherd Hill Regional High School, where AJ's mother, Jamie Congdon, works as a teacher and provide fun for all to help support the family. Winans said the teachers love AJ's spirit and work quickly to organize an effort to support him after the diagnosis. Many of us in the school and the surrounding communities have all been trying to do whatever we can to support them financially. A slew of people in our school put together a fundraiser, so it's going to be a family fun day where we will have an organized workout by a fitness professional for older teens and adults. We'll have all sorts of outdoor activities, weather permitting, and it will all be geared towards kids to have fun, said Willens. It's just going to be a great event for our community to bring everybody together and for kids to have a great time. We want to see families come together and support the Congdons. The event will feature more than 60 raffle items, contests, and exercises organized by Dudley and Charlton athletes, food and ice cream trucks, and more. Weather permitting, many of the activities will be outside at Shepherd Hill, but the day is rain or shine, with plenty of space inside to enjoy the fun. The event is completely community donated with no overhead cost, meaning every penny earned will help AJ and his family in his fight. Entry into the event will be $7.30, a tribute to AJ's football number 73. Guests are encouraged to wear green for the day, AJ's favorite color. The fundraiser will take place from noon to 2 p.m. at Shepherd Hill Regional High School. Those who can't make the event in person and want to support AJ and his family can donate by searching AJ Congdon Strong on GoFundMe. As of this writing, the campaign has raised over $76,700 towards the goal of $85,000. Our next article from the Webster Times, PSM Department to monitor Webster Public Schools next month. During the week of May 13th, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, Office of Public School Monitoring, PSM, will conduct a tiered focus monitoring review of Webster Public Schools. The Office of Public School Monitoring visits each district and charter school every 3 years to monitor compliance with federal and state special education and civil rights regulations. Areas of review related to the special education include student assessments, determination of eligibility, the individualized education program known as IEP, team process, and IEP development and implementation. Areas of the review related to civil rights include bullying, student discipline, physical restraint, and equal access to school programs for all students. In addition to the on-site visit, parent outreach is an important part of the review process. The review chairperson from the Office of Public School Monitoring will send all parents of students with disabilities an online survey that focuses on key areas of their child's special education program. Survey results will contribute to the development of a report. During the on-site review, the Office of Public School Monitoring will interview the chairpersons of the district's Special Education Parent Advisory Council. Other on-site activities may include interviews of district staff and administrators, review of student records, and on-site observations. Parents and other individuals may call Michael McDonald, Public School Monitoring Chairperson, at 781-338-3746 to request a telephone interview.
BVCC sings in spring. The Blackstone Valley Community Chorus will present their concert, American Rhythms and Roots, on Sunday, May 19th at 3 p.m. The concert will take place at Valley Chapel at 14 Hunter Road in Uxbridge. American Rhythms and Roots includes a blend of American folk music and jazz standards and celebrates American songwriters from George and Ira Gershwin to John Denver. Admission is free, though donations are accepted and appreciated. The Blackstone Valley Community Chorus is composed of singers from towns throughout central Massachusetts. Singing under the direction of Diane Pollard of Douglas, the BVCC has been committed to bringing varied musical performance opportunities to the Blackstone Valley for almost 20 years. The BVCC has also been invited to sing at the State House in Boston on Wednesday, May 22nd. Visit the BVCC on Facebook or at www.bvcchorus.com for more information on these events. Upton VFW Summer Flea Market returns May 11th. The Upton Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 5594 VFW will open its annual summer series of flea markets on Saturday, May 11th at Post Headquarters, 16 Milford Street, Route 140 in Upton. It will be joined in May by the Blackstone Valley Garden Club that will offer outdoor and indoor greenery ready for spring planting. Hours are 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. with donuts and coffee available in the morning, then hot dogs, chips, and cold drinks for lunch. Parking is free. Ample vendor spaces are available for $10 each, or banquet-sized tables can be provided by the Post for $15 each. Reservations are not needed. Post member David Kennedy can answer further questions by calling him at 508-529-3314. Kennedy heads up these events that are held the second Saturday of each month through October. There are no rain dates. These fundraiser benefits the Post and the community at large. The Post is located next door to Upton's Newtown Library and Senior Center. Blackstone Valley Bluegrass to play next Grassroots Coffee House concert. Our next Grassroots Coffee House concert on Saturday, May 4th, features Blackstone Valley Bluegrass, a local favorite that has been performing for the Grassroots crowds for more than 20 years. The band plays a mixture of traditional, contemporary, and original bluegrass music and always puts on an entertaining show. The band consists of Tim St. Jean on mandolin from Putnam, Connecticut, Pete Fine on banjo from Stowe, Peter Tillotson on bass from Grafton, and original band member Bob Dick from Northbridge. The Grassroots Coffee House is located at the Rockdale Congregational Church, 42 Fowler Road in Northbridge. Admission to the concert is $15. Hot foods, beverages, and desserts are available prior to the concert and during intermission. Doors open at 6:45 p.m., concert begins at 7:30 p.m., and usually wraps up by 9:30 p.m. Proceeds support the artists and the church. The coffee house is run by volunteers. For more information, visit www.rockdalechurchonline.org or call Bob at 617-429-0347. Northbridge Historical Society speaker series continues with Old House Do's and Don'ts. The Northbridge Historical Society continues its guest presenter speaker series presentation with Old House Do's and Don'ts. Rachel Farrago, Preservation Services Manager for Central New England at Historic New England, will offer tips, insights, and suggestions for your old home, regardless of age. Thoughtful, informed repairs and alterations can preserve its historical and architectural character while updating it for present-day living. Enjoy an illustrated lecture and learn what to think about when considering changes, including updating and expansion, improving energy efficiency, and working with your home's best features to enhance curb appeal. Questions are encouraged. The event is scheduled for Thursday, June 6th at 6:30 p.m. at the Northbridge Memorial Town Hall. Seating is limited. Contact Filoni1908@gmail.com to request your seat or seats. A confirmation email will be sent. This event is made possible through a grant from the Northbridge Cultural Council. News from the Uxbridge Senior Center. The Uxbridge Senior Center is located at 36 South Main Street, 508-278-8622. Friday, May 31st at 12 noon, May Birthday Cake Celebration. Come celebrate all the birthdays that are in May. Hannaford Grocery Shopping every Tuesday. Pickup begins at 8:30 a.m. Please sign up in advance by calling us at 508-278-8622 to reserve your seat on the van. Every Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the Uxbridge Senior Center Transportation Program Community Shuttle. This shuttle is for seniors and individuals with disabilities to destinations such as post office, pet care appointments, hair salon or barber, bank, pharmacy, and shopping anywhere in the Uxbridge-Northbridge area. Note, this replaces the weekly bank and pharmacy and Shaw's Ocean States rides. Call 508-278-8622 for more information and to book your ride. Requests require a 48-hour notice. Medical transportation is accepting appointments as well. Call 508-278-8622 to schedule those rides. Feel free to contact us at 508-278-8622 or visit us on our webpage at uxbridge-ma.gov/COA or like us on our Facebook page or by Googling Uxbridge Senior Center and our new YouTube channel, or just visit us by dropping by. The Uxbridge Elderly Connection will be holding their annual meeting on Wednesday, May 8th at 5 p.m. at the Senior Center. We will be reviewing the annual report and the election of Board of Directors members. Any member of UEC interested in running for the board should contact Director Lisa Bernard or Donna Onke at the Senior Center. The Uxbridge Elderly Connection is the fundraising arm of the Senior Center and provides financial funding for some of the Senior Center's activities and programs. Please join us. The Spring Town Meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, May 14th at 7 p.m. at Valley Chapel, located at 14 Hunter Road in Uxbridge. Please plan on attending to participate in this important event. Every May, the Administration for Community Living leads the nation's observance of Older Americans Month, OAM. The 2024 theme is Powered by Connection, which recognizes the profound impact that meaningful relationships and social connections have on our health and well-being. We will explore the vital role that connectedness plays in supporting independence and aging in place by combating isolation, loneliness, and other issues. Join us in promoting the benefits of connecting with others. Thursday, May 2nd at 10:30 a.m., Veterans Services with Carl Bradshaw. By appointment only, please call 508-278-8622 to sign up. Friday, May 3rd, 12 p.m. Lunch and Learn with Chief Montminy. His guest speaker will be Deb Blackburn from People's First Food Pantry, and she will be discussing food insecurity of the elderly. Be sure to RSVP for this informational luncheon. On Monday, May 6th, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., computer training with students from BVT. Please call ahead to book an appointment. This will be held on the first Monday of each month. The next date will be Monday, June 3rd. Friday, May 10th at 12 p.m., annual Mother's Day celebration. Please join us to celebrate all moms and those who love and care for each other. We will have Bob Moon as our entertainer for this event. The meal is being sponsored by the Uxbridge Elderly Connection Incorporated. Space is limited and there is a waiting list. Monday, May 20th at 1:30 p.m., ask the attorney with attorney Ralph Tepper by appointment only. Please call 508-278-8622 to schedule your appointment. Tuesday, May 21st at 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., Shine appointments. Pat Nechtow, our Shine counselor, is back to help you with your health insurance questions. Please call 508-278-8622 to schedule. On Friday, May 24th and Monday, May 27th, the Uxbridge Senior Center will be closed in observance of Memorial Day. We will reopen on Tuesday, May 28th. News from the Millbury Senior Center. The Breathe Betters Club is Tuesday, April 30th from 10 to 11 a.m. Transportation hours from the Millbury Senior Center are Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. and Fridays 8 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Rides have to be scheduled by 4:30 p.m. the day before by calling 508-752-9283. These rides for Millbury seniors 60 and older and those with ADA services we must register with the WRTA in advance if you need transportation. For more information on regards to the transportation, call the Millbury Senior Center at 508-865-9154. Blood Pressure Clinic is every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And our SNAP applications, food stamps, are appointment only and are on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Please call for an appointment and required documentation, 508-865-9154. Save the date, Saturday, April 27th from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., the Friends of St. Louis Yard Sale. We are accepting donations which can be dropped off at the Church Hall, Saturday, April 20th from 8 a.m. to noon, Thursday, April 25th from 4 to 6 p.m. and Friday, April 26th from 4 to 6 p.m. News from the Uxbridge Free Public Library, 15 North Main Street in Uxbridge. Book a librarian. Need help downloading e-books and using other library digital resources? Contact the library to book a 30-minute appointment with a librarian for hands-on tech assistance. Wednesdays from 2:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. Sign up for a CW Mars e-card. Don't have a library card? You can sign up for a CW Mars e-card at home right now. It provides immediate access to the library's online resources like e-books and audiobooks on Libby or Hoopla, newspapers like the TNG on Newsbank, and movies and documentaries on Canopy. You can always upgrade your e-card to a physical library card by visiting the library. Apply for a CW Mars e-card and use it today at bit.ly/UXECARD. Stevenson to perform at Valley Chapel. Join Grammy and Clove Fan Award nominated artist Ryan Stevenson for one of four unique and intimate events at Valley Chapel, 14 Hunter Road in Uxbridge, on Sunday, April 28th. Ryan will be joined by his band for an acoustic night of songs, testimonies, and community. Upgrade your tickets for a meet and greet and photo op with Ryan before each concert, as well as your pick of the best seats in the house. You don't want to miss this powerful evening. St. Peter's Parish accepting donations for spring yard sale. St. Peter's Parish and Northbridge will be holding a yard sale on Saturday, June 1st, 7:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the parish hall. If you are moving, spring cleaning, or just have too much clutter, bring us your gently used items for our yard sale. Donations may be dropped off every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. April through May, starting on Saturday, April 6th at the parish garage. Accepting kitchen items, home goods, toys, sporting goods, books, small furniture items, clothing for donation, and much more. Visit the website for a complete list of acceptable items. Call or email the parish office if you have any questions, 508-234-2156. The email is parishoffice@stpeterrockdale.org. News from Plummer Place, home of the Northbridge Senior Center. Plummer Place is located at 20 Highland Street. The telephone number is 508-234-2002. Meditation with Michelle is every Thursday at 9:30 a.m. Set your intentions for the day in a calm, safe environment. Recycle paper and electronics at Uxbridge Lions Shred Event. It's that time again when the Uxbridge Lions provide a much-needed service to the community. Folks discover after tax time that they have way too many old documents and receipts hanging around the house. What should you shred? Just about all of them. Bring them to the VFW parking lot, Route 16 and Crossroad in Uxbridge, on Saturday, April 27th, between 8:30 and 11:30 a.m. You can watch the Pellegrino truck securely shred your material. Contributions to the semi-annual service help fund the Lions Club's many charities. $5 donation for copy paper-sized box, or per electronic item. No need to get out of your car. Just follow the signs and a lion will be at your door.
Our next article from the Webster Times is the editorial entitled Rediscovering the Lost Art of Manners. In an era characterized by hurried interactions and digital communications, it's not uncommon to hear lamentations about the decline of manners in modern society. Indeed, it often seems that the gracious etiquette of our ancestors has been relegated to the annals of history. Perhaps it is worth taking a moment to reflect on the timeless wisdom embodied by the manners of yesteryear. Our ancestors lived in a world where courtesy and respect were not merely niceties, but fundamental principles that governed social interactions. Whether it was a firm handshake, a heartfelt expression of gratitude, or a genteel gesture of chivalry, manners served as the currency of civility. One needed only to look to etiquette manuals of bygone eras to gain insight into the elaborate codes of conduct that governed everyday life. From the intricacies of formal dining to the protocols of courtship, these guides offered a blueprint for navigating the complexities of social interaction with grace and poise. Moreover, they underscored the importance of empathy and consideration for others. In contrast, the frenetic pace of modern life has often led to a blurring of boundaries and a loss of interpersonal decorum. In our quest for efficiency and convenience, we risk sacrifice the human connection that lies at the heart of the meaningful communication. The rise of digital communication, while undeniably convenient, has also eroded the nuances to face-to-face interaction, leading to a decline in empathy and understanding. Furthermore, the erosion of traditional social structures has contributed to a sense of individualism and often prioritizes self-interest over communal harmony. In an increasingly atomized society, the concept of manners can seem antiquated, relegated to the realm of quaint nostalgia, rather than a relevant guiding principle for modern life. Just as the customs of our ancestors evolved in response to the challenges of their time, so too can we adapt and redefine the concept of manners for the 21st century. Rather than lamenting the loss of bygone era, we can draw upon its timeless principles to cultivate a culture of respect, empathy, and civility in our interactions with others. Our next article is from the Worcester Telegram Gazette. It was a passion for him, community remembers longtime Central Mass Attorney Director, Oxford teacher and administrator Roger Bacon. In 1948, Roger Bacon met Myrtle Hamilton in geometry class at Oxford High. He was a sophomore and she was a freshman. Bacon played basketball and Myrtle often went to watch the team's games at Town Hall. Back then, it was one of the players asked a girl to hold his wallet during a game. It meant he wanted to go out with her. Before one game in 1948 season, Bacon made the request of Myrtle. She complied. Then he found out I was holding two wallets, Myrtle recalled this week with a laugh. After the game, Roger and Myrtle went to a Coke at the nearby Nate House bar and soda fountain. It was their first date and the beginning of a partnership that included 71 years of marriage and more than four decades of running the Central Mass High School basketball tournaments together. My mom and dad were a team, the Bacon's daughter, Jamie Bonilla, said. They were best friends. On Wednesday, Roger Bacon passed away at the age of 90. He had several recent health issues, including fractured vertebrae, Myrtle said. He spent his 90th birthday on March 23rd in the surgical ICU at UMass Memorial. But he came home and lived his final days in his beloved Oxford, where he raised his family and was a longtime educator and coach at his high school alma mater and a community leader. Roger was very proud of Oxford, said former Oxford High football coach, teacher, and administrator Mike Fields, who goes back more than 50 years with Bacon. He never left, and that speaks volumes about how much he cared for the town and for Oxford High School. I think it's safe to say Roger was Oxford High School. Bacon leaves his wife, Myrtle, their four daughters, Ginny, Kathy, Jane, and Sarah, eight grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren, and a brother and two sisters. Bacon was born and raised in Spencer until the summer before his freshman year of high school, when his parents built a home in Oxford. Bacon, as Fields said, became synonymous with the town and was affectionately known as Mr. Oxford. He was once the town's man of the year, and the gym at Oxford High is named in his honor. Mr. Bacon was so proud of the town of Oxford and Oxford High School. Former Oxford High School teacher and girls basketball coach John Dildorian said, "For him to have that gym named after him just meant the world. I can remember saying to him one day, 'Mr. Bacon, it's nice walking under your name coming in here.' And he kind of smiled and said, 'Just keep winning.' And I said, 'We're going to do our best.'" Bacon loved Dildorian's early 1990s team, and when star Kala Berube went on to play at UConn, Roger and Myrtle became UConn's season ticket holders, attending Huskies women's basketball games, along with fishing on Sebago Lake in Maine, were among Bacon's favorite pastimes. Bacon, a U.S. Navy veteran of the Korean War, graduated from Worcester State and taught math at Oxford High while coaching basketball and baseball before becoming assistant principal and then principal. He retired in 1994. He was a terrific administrator with a calm demeanor, Fields said. He interacted well with students, and his approach with faculty was, "We're all in this together." Bacon's daughter, Kathy Looney, who taught eighth grade in Oxford for more than 25 years, followed in her father's footsteps. "He was my mentor," Kathy said. "Anytime I needed school advice, how to handle academics or curriculum or students, I always went to my dad. He taught me how important it was to make sure that students saw you outside of the classroom, and he was so right. I made sure I went to many events so I could connect with students because that's what he did." Whether it was flipping hamburgers at Pirates football games or, in recent years, attending teacher retirement parties, Bacon never missed an Oxford High event. Including their own, Roger and Myrtle went to 69 Oxford High proms together 2 years ago when their daughter, Sarah Bacon, and her Oxford High School class marked their 40th reunion. He stopped by to give a little speech. Everyone was so excited when he walked in, Sarah said. Every time I come home, the Bacon's daughter, Ginny Beansley, who lives in New Mexico, said he would tell me about students he had in such and such a year and that they're doing what they're doing now and what their kids are doing. He really enjoyed following the students. The family has established the Roger D. Bacon Jr. Scholarship Fund in his memory. In 1977, Bacon became director of the Central Massachusetts Boys Basketball Tournament, a post he held with Myrtle right by his side for 43 years. Beginning in 1997, Bacon's also ran the Central Mass Girls Basketball Tournament. Additionally, they helped out with the MIAA State Tournament. When you thought of the Central Mass Basketball Tournament, Roger was the one you always identified it with, said former Marlboro High School Athletic Director and MIAA Assistant Director Rich Riley. Riley worked for Bacon in a variety of capacities, site director, public address, security, during Bacon's last 20 years as tournament director. He was a gentleman, said Riley, who visited Bacon 2 days before he passed, a dedicated professional and an outstanding school administrator and tournament director. It's amazing to think about the time in his life he gave toward others, Smith said. He was someone who carried himself with class and poise at all times and someone who tried to make the best possible athletic experience for student athletes across the section and across the state. The Bacons were fixtures at WPI's Harrington Auditorium for so many memorable Central Mass semifinals and finals through the years. What a joy to go to the games and see Roger and Myrtle. Patty Provo, the former Notre Dame Academy Athletic Director, basketball and field hockey coach, said. He was the big boss, Provo said fondly. He was awesome. He loved his work, and she loved it, too. Mr. Bacon was a great guy, Dodorian said, and I think the kids at Oxford really loved him, too. Every time I saw him, he was in a good mood. I never called him Roger in my whole life. He told me 100 times, call me Roger, I said. I can't. I just had too much respect for him and what he meant to me. A funeral service for Roger Bacon will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, April 27, 2024, at the First Congregational Church, 335 Main Street, Oxford. Burial with military funeral honors will follow. Calling hours are today from 1 to 3 and 5 to 8 at Paradise Givner Funeral Home, 357 Main Street, Oxford, Massachusetts. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Arnie Wensky, reading with Jen and Kowiak. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more great programming from Audio Journal.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
Hello once again, Audio Journal listeners. This is Bill Ruggiero with this weather report for today, Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Here's my latest updated forecast. For today, we'll have mostly sunny skies, highs near 69 degrees. For tonight, mostly clear skies, low around 39 degrees. For your Friday, it's called mostly sunny skies with just a chance of a passing shower later in the afternoon. Highs Friday near 71 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear skies, low will be near 51 degrees. And the outlook for Saturday is called mostly cloudy skies with some showers likely towards afternoon. Highs Saturday near 66 degrees. Saturday night, mostly cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms likely. Rain may be heavy at times late. Low around 50 degrees. And the outlook for Sunday is called for mostly cloudy skies with showers likely and a chance of a thunderstorm later in the afternoon. Highs on Sunday near 77 degrees. And folks, that is your latest weather forecast for today. This is Thursday, April 25th, 2024. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody. And now let's go back to our Patricia A. Fletcher Studios with more programming coming up next on Audio Journal. Take care. Have a wonderful Thursday, everybody. Bye.
Please join Music Worcester as we start our Bach journey with the Worcester Chorus's performance of Bach's B Minor Mass on Sunday, May 5th at 4 p.m. in Mechanics Hall in Worcester. There will be a free pre-concert talk for ticket holders at 3 p.m. in Washburn Hall. Ticket prices are $55, $45, and $39, depending on the seat you choose. Student prices are $17.50, and youth are $7.50, plus the ordering fees. Go to musicworcester.org to purchase your tickets. Thank you, and I hope you can make it.